Welcome to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast for February 2019. I'm your host, Don Cameron of Breska & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. We hope you'll find this podcast informative, but it should not be taken as legal advice. The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants. Expert witnesses are often disqualified from testifying because they don't know enough about the subject matter in issue. But in the Tabayan versus Intel case last fall, an expert witness was disqualified because he knew too much. His prior relationship with the party against whom he was testifying resulted in his disqualification. Johan Xu is the managing associate in the Orange County office of Oric LLP. Johan's practice focuses on patent litigation, especially in the fields of electronics, circuits, computer and network systems, software, and telecommunications. He also deals with data privacy and data security matters. Together with Karen Johnson McEwen of Oric, Johan authored an article on the Tabayan case that sets out lessons on what can be learned from that decision. I spoke with Johan from his office in Irvine, California. Hello, Johannes.
Hello, Don.
So there are plenty of cases disqualifying an expert because of their lack of expertise, but the Tabayan case disqualified an expert because of his prior technical relationship with the company against whom he was proposing to testify. What were the facts in this case?
I guess we can call this the expert with TMI, too much information. In this case, Tabayan alleged that Intel infringed Tabayan's patent on voltage regulation. Now, Intel uses voltage regulators to power its microprocessors, and Intel have worked with third-party suppliers to develop several generations of its voltage regulators, starting in the 1990s. Now, from 1999 to 2009, Tabayan's expert worked for two of those suppliers, and during that time, the expert obtained confidential information regarding several generations of Intel's voltage regulators. And so Intel moved to disqualify him.
So what's the legal test for that kind of expert?
The court here applied a three-part test. One, the court looked at whether the prior relationship between the expert and the opposing party was confidential. And two, was the confidential information that the expert obtained under that relationship relevant to the present lawsuit? And three, how would granting or denying a disqualification motion prejudice the parties or affect the integrity of the legal process?
So let's discuss how the court applied each of these three questions. Number one, was the prior relationship confidential?
The court held yes, the relationship was confidential. Here, the expert had received Intel confidential technical information under his employer's non-disclosure agreement with Intel. And the expert also signed a record acknowledging receipt of such information. And so the court found that Intel's disclosure and expectation of confidentiality were reasonable, and therefore that Intel had a confidential relationship with the expert.
So the second question is about the relevance of the earlier confidential information to the present lawsuit. How did the court deal with this question?
The court dealt with this question in two parts, two aspects of it. One is the court first considered whether the information is the kind of information that could disqualify the expert. And the second aspect is the court looked at the information itself to see if whether it was indeed relevant to the present lawsuit.
So let's talk about the first part of that answer, the kind of information the expert had received.
Sure. The court found it was unreasonable to expect an expert to mentally segregate information through the prior confidential relationship from information he would receive through discovery in the present lawsuit. And the court also opined that it was impossible to know how the confidential information would inform or affect the expert's opinion. Here, further, the expert had participated in meetings and oral discussions that had not been recorded and thus would not be discoverable. And this non-discoverable information that the expert had received during his confidential relationship was further disqualifying.
And how about the information itself that the expert had received in the prior relationship?
Here, the expert had received technical specifications on voltage regulators, and the court held that these specifications had contained information that was relevant to the case. Tobias had argued that the expert merely received specifications that set out interface parameters between a voltage regulator and a microprocessor. Tobias further argued that such specification did not contain design information that was relevant to the patent claims. But the court disagreed. The court reasoned that technical specification and design information are not mutually exclusive. The court further reasoned that the information needed for voltage regulators to work with microprocessors inherently concerned their design and functionality. And indeed, the expert's employer designed the voltage regulators for Intel during his employment. Further, during his decade-long confidential relationship, the expert worked on several generations of voltage regulators, and this made it more likely that the specification actually imparted design information to him. So all these reasons supported the conclusion that the expert did in fact receive design information relevant to the lawsuit, and that was the court's holding.
Okay, so the third and final question of the test regarding these kinds of experts deals with the relative prejudice of allowing the witness to testify or not. What was the court's conclusion on that question?
The court concluded that the expert's prior knowledge of confidential information would indeed prejudice Intel in the lawsuit, and therefore the court disqualified the expert.
So can a devious company hire a consultant now, provide the expert with confidential information in order to preempt that expert from ever testifying against that company?
The court thought that this instant case would not encourage that kind of behavior. Here, because the confidential relationship between the expert and Intel naturally ended years before the party engaged in the lawsuit, disqualifying this particular expert would not generally raise or lower the bar for disqualification based on a relationship with an expert that is specifically created for litigation.
So what's the lesson or lessons to be learned from this case?
When hiring experts, it is imperative to find out whether the expert had worked for or worked with the opposing party, and whether they receive any confidential information that is relevant to the case. And if so, don't hire the expert. And I think that this concern is especially relevant in highly specialized fields where experts may be more likely to have worked for or with the opposing party.
Thank you very much for these insights, Johannes.
Oh, thank you, Don, for your invitation to your podcast. It was my pleasure.
Johann Hsu is the managing associate of ORIC in their Orange County office in Irvine, California. For further information on Johann Hsu and his paper entitled Disqualifying an Expert, When is an Expert's Prior Relationship Prejudicial to the Opposing Party?, and for information on other jurisdiction podcasts, please visit iplawpodcast.com. You've been listening to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast. I'm Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr, LLP in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for listening.